We won't stare at it.
Actually, I can just borrow that from you later in the meeting. I don't need it now.
Okay. Feel free, Commissioner.
All right, thank you.
Anything for Mr. Chairman?
Or that one, either one. All right, we're live? Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is Wednesday, April 20th, 2011, 10 a.m. We're here at the North Dakota Public Service Commission hearing room, which is on the 12th floor of the state capitol in Bismarck. For anyone who may be listening in, this is Commission Chairman Tony Clark, and I would ask my fellow commissioners to introduce themselves as well.
Good morning, Kevin Kramer.
Good morning, Brian Kolk.
All right, are there any opening comments? All right, let's. We do have some items on consent.
I'd move passage of the consent agenda.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Moving to items in my portfolio, TC1, I move the commission issue an order in case number GE11-112, canceling warehouse license number 1237, issued to Thompson's USA Limited at Grand Forks, North Dakota, and ordering that business at Grand Forks, North Dakota is discontinued, effective immediately.
Second.
This was a facility that was licensed as a receiving station for dry edible beans. It's empty. The license is no longer used or needed.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. TC2, I move the commission deem the application complete and issue a notice of rescheduled hearing in the application of, let's see. I should ask a lot of this is actually the note that was just passed. Do we need to hold this up and hold it over, or we can pass and just make
I just didn't want you to let it.
Okay, it's just some errata. Okay, very good. I move the commission deem the application complete and issue a notice of rescheduled hearings in the application of Minn Kota Power Co-op, Inc. for a certificate of corridor compatibility for its proposed 345 kV electric transmission line from Center to Grand Forks, North Dakota, case number PU-09-670.
Second.
This basically just sets the hearing schedule for the Minn Kota 345 line, an approximately 260-mile line. As you may recall, these are rescheduled hearings. We had received several requests to postpone the hearings until after the spring planting season. This does so. It creates a June 16th hearing in Northwood at the Northwood High School, June 17th hearing in Carrington at the Chieftain Conference Center, and June 24th in Washburn at Memorial Hall. There are just a couple of items of errata in here that need to be corrected, so the actual one that we sign will be a little bit different than the one that's in front of us right now, but they're just sort of minor corrections to the order. One of them is something I had requested, which is just simply a line that indicates that while the hearings at each of these are going to focus primarily on portions in that geographic area, of course, testimony on any of it is welcome at any of the hearings. So that is about it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Can you guarantee the snow will be gone by June 16th?
I cannot guarantee that. No. I wish I could. I wish I could guarantee that it'd be gone by this weekend. TC3, I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order, issuing certificate of site compatibility for transmission facility corridor number 117 and route permit number 127 to Oliver Wind 3 LLC, authorizing construction of approximately 9.5 miles of 230 kV electric transmission line and associated facilities in Morton and Oliver counties of North Dakota, case number PU-09-724.
Second.
This application dates back to a having been received on a little over a year ago, March 19th, 2010, by NextEra, who filed this application for approximately 11 miles of 230 kV electric transmission line and facilities that will extend from the Oliver Wind 3 Energy Center in Morton County to its existing Square Butte substation, also in Oliver County. After that, the NextEra filed a request that Oliver Wind 3 LLC be substituted as the applicant. It's a subdivision that's created for this particular wind farm that will be operating and using the transmission line. As I indicated, it's 230 kV line, approximately 11 miles long. What the commission is approving today includes a corridor of a corridor consisting of 150-foot wide area centered on the preferred transmission line route and each alternative route presented in hearing exhibit 2. There are a couple of alternative routes that the commission is approving with this, just in case there are some issues, especially with an existing line operated by Rough Rider Electric Co-op that's there. So there is a contingency plan. But the corridor is 150 feet on each of those routes. One of the things that I would draw to folks' attention, I think this is probably the first certificate that we're granting that incorporates this particular language. If not, it's one of the very first, and maybe the first with the electric transmission line. The commission has become very concerned about construction practices in general in North Dakota's energy patch, both on the electric side and on the oil and gas side, primarily related to ensuring that those who are constructing these facilities and the contractors that they hire are following our 811 laws related to call before you dig. We've, especially in the pipeline area, have had some accidents with regard to underground excavation and hitting existing facilities. So the commission really wants to emphasize for all of our energy developers, electric or oil and gas, that they have to utilize that system to prevent injuries. And basically, if you look at our ordering clauses number 11 and 12 in the order, that's where we detail this. But basically, it says that Oliver 3 shall notify the commission as soon as reasonably possible if any damage, as it's defined in the Century Code, occurs to underground facilities during construction. And with regard to the facilities that are detailed in this permit, in the event of any damage to underground facilities, Oliver Wind 3 shall suspend construction in the vicinity of the damage until compliance with one-call excavation notice system requirements has been determined and clearance to proceed has been given by the commission or the commission staff. The corridor certificate and route permit are subject to suspension or revocation and may, after hearing, be suspended or revoked for failure to comply with the commission's order requirements of the one-call excavation notice system as provided under the law. So basically, it's an underlining and an exclamation point that the commission expects as energy development goes forward that people who hold our certificates abide faithfully by the one-call system, by calling 811 and by doing everything that they can do to ensure that these type of accidents do not happen. And I would add, this is probably something we'll be incorporating into each of our orders on a going forward basis.
All in favor?
Aye.
That ends the items in my portfolio. Commissioner Kalk.
Good morning. Item BK1. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing and notice of informal hearing in the application of New Singular Wireless PCS LLC for designation as an eligible telecommunication carrier for federal universal service support in Western North Dakota exchanges, case number PU-11-86.
Second.
On March 23rd of this year, New Singular Wireless PCS LLC, a subsidiary of AT&T, filed an application for a designation as an ETC carrier, eligible telecommunication carrier, for the purposes of receiving federal universal service support. New Singular proposes to provide universal services as a commercial mobile radio service carrier in the same area currently occupied by Western Wireless Corporation, formerly Altel. And basically, it's the entire state. The issues that can be considered are qualifications of the applicant under the Telecommunication Act of 1996, what ETC area should be designated, and the public interest. Persons desiring a formal hearing need to give us comments no later than June 3rd. If we do not have any formal requests for formal hearings, we've scheduled an informal for June 22nd right here at the commission room.
There's a there was a time when this would have been, there would have been no question that we would have had a formal hearing on it. I think probably some of the biggest cases when I first got on the commission happened to be ETC designation cases, and then they were, I think, fully litigated after that. But they've become a little bit more commonplace, I guess. We haven't heard an ETC application in a while. So if we have a request for hearing, we'll have one, I guess. And if not, it'll be an informal.
All in favor?
Aye.
And item BK2 has been withdrawn. We've asked for additional information from North Dakota One Call, which will help us proceed in this case. And that concludes the items in my portfolio.
Very good. Commissioner Kramer.
Thank you. KC1, I move the commission approve bond release number 3 for surface coal mining permit CCGH8003 held by Basin Cooperative Services for the Glen Herald Mine to release all reclamation liabilities on 1,018.54 acres of land located in portions of sections 9, 10, 15, and 16, T-143 North, R-84 West, Oliver County. The amount of the bond release is $2,359,795, and it will become effective May 20th, 2011, unless a formal hearing is requested.
Second.
This is a rather large bond release, final bond release, and it's certainly been anticipated for some time. The Glen Herald Mine, as you know, was owned by Basin. It's a little less than 10,000-acre mine that was mined, at least this permit area, largely in the early 80s. Coal removal was completed in 1992, and most of the area was respread with and graded and seeded by 1997. This particular permit area includes 617 acres of reclaimed native grassland, 41 acres of woodland, 49 acres of reclaimed cropland, 52 acres of reclaimed hayland, 4 acres of developed water resources, and 8 acres of reclaimed county roads, and then 247 and a half acres of permitted lands that were not disturbed by mining. It's obviously a mine that we've become quite familiar with. It's a beautiful area. If the prairies could be improved, this prairie has been, with not just incredible hayland and rangeland, but beautiful woodlands as well. And they've done a great job over there. There are about 2,700 acres that remain to be released, hopefully sometime within a year or so, on that mine. But when we take them down in 1,000-acre chunks, it's kind of nice.
All in favor?
Aye.
KC2, I move the commission acknowledge the April 19th, 2011 letter of intent to shorten the one-year waiting period between filing a letter of intent and a siting application to 2 months and assess a filing fee of $10,000 due upon filing an application in case number PU 11-99, Arrow Field Services LLC's proposed crude oil pipeline in McKenzie County, North Dakota.
Second.
This certificate and permit would authorize Arrow to install about 1.5 miles of new pipeline. So this is a pretty short pipeline. Obviously, it's a midstream line. But when we talk about pipelines, we talk about taking trucks off the road. These are the lines that really take the trucks off the road, because this provides, even though it's 1.5 miles, this provides that opportunity to move about 9,600 barrels per day of Bakken production into the transmission lines. It's an 8-inch diameter pipe. It'll serve local producers in McKenzie County, deliver crude from an existing facility, located at the eastern terminus of the project, and transport it to the existing Four Bears pipeline located at the western terminus of the project. And we have a number of these short lines today that involve the Bridger system, and this is obviously one of them. Arrow would like to begin construction, obviously, as soon as possible, which is why we're shortening the one-year waiting period. And for 1.5 miles, I don't think that would be too big a problem. Depending upon our approval, they anticipate initiating construction in July of this year and then placing the completed project into service by September of this year. The estimated construction cost would be about $2 million.
One thing I would maybe add is that I don't know all the specifics yet of the pipeline, but it's interesting that part of the state has all these new pipelines, so we need a lot more electricity for the pump stations. So it'll be interesting how much more is going to be needed over time to move all this oil in all these pipelines around the region.
Well, we've received a lot of PCNN requests recently for some of these stations.
It's good we have all that electricity out.
That's right. And cheap.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
KC3, I move the commission acknowledge the letter of intent to shorten the one-year waiting period between filing a letter of intent and a siting application to 30 days and assess a filing fee of $16,800 due upon filing an application in case number PU 11-102, Whiting Oil and Gas Corporation, proposed crude oil pipelines in Billings County, North Dakota.
Second.
Whiting obviously has been active in North Dakota for a long time, and they operate a number of oil and gas wells in Stark and Billings County near the town of Belfield, which is, of course, getting further to the south than we've been doing a lot of work lately. They anticipate a lot of additional drilling in that area. They are constructing a gathering system which would gather crude produced in the vicinity to a central storage location. And then at that point, they intend to install pumps to increase the pressure and then construct what is an 8-inch line about 7 miles in length to a point in Billings County where it would interconnect with the Skunk Hill pipeline station operated by Bridger Pipeline. Again, another Bridger interconnect. At the current time, they anticipate carrying only crude oil that they produce from the wells that are operated by Whiting. And this would, of course, allow Whiting to market their crude into the national markets and minimize, again, truck traffic in the area. We're, again, pretty familiar with that whole Skunk Hill area because we've cited the Bridger, the Four Bears, the Butte project for the True companies, and this oil would most likely then get into that system and get down to ultimately to the Guernsey area. They anticipate commencing construction in the fall of this year with the completion date by December 8th of this year. An estimated cost of construction would be $3,360,000.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
KC4. I move the commission acknowledge the letter of intent to shorten the one-year waiting period between filing a letter of intent and a siting application to 1 month and assess a filing fee of $25,000 due upon filing an application in case number PU11104, Hess Corporation, proposed natural gas liquids pipeline in Williams County, North Dakota.
Second.
Hess, of course, as we know, are expanding their gas processing facility at Tioga. They're proposing to construct about 4 miles of LPG lines consisting of 1 8-inch nominal diameter pipeline and 3 6-inch nominal diameter pipelines in the common corridor. One of the 6-inch lines is a standby spare pipeline for any of the other three main lines. LPG lines will commence at the tailgate of the Tioga gas plant and then proceed south of the city of Tioga to the Tioga rail terminal facility that's currently being constructed by Hess. It'll allow Hess to market liquid products resulting from the processing of the natural gas and then using the Tioga rail terminal to move that product to market. It'll have an LPG loading rack, the terminal that is, will have a LPG loading rack and a rail car storage track system to store rail cars awaiting service from the railroad or product loading at the loading dock, and is being designed to load 1.3 million gallons per day of liquefied product. They anticipate beginning and completing the construction activities in this summer. Hess estimates that the total cost of construction for the 4 mile pipeline is about $5 million. So it's a lot of dollars per mile, but it is four lines, even though it's in one corridor. So exciting things happening with gas marketing.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And related is KC5. I move the commission acknowledge the letter of intent, shorten the one-year waiting period between filing a letter of intent and a siting application to 30 days, and assess a filing fee of $100,000 due upon filing an application in case number PU11109, Vantage Pipeline US LP, proposed natural gas liquids pipeline in Williams and Divide Counties, North Dakota.
Second.
You know, have you guys noticed that sometimes we shorten these to 30 days and sometimes to 1 month? Anyway.
I was thinking the same thing. What's our rationale?
I don't know. Well, do 1 month that? Is 31 days? I don't know. Or 28 if it's February. I don't know. At any rate, this keeps us on our toes, right? This corridor certificate and route permit should be issued would authorize construction of a pipeline to transport ethane within the state of North Dakota from Hess's gas plant located at Tioga in a north westerly direction to the Canadian border. And they're, of course, requesting that we shorten the one-year waiting period, as I said. It's an interesting project. Vantage is proposing to construct 430 miles of 10 to 12-inch inside diameter pipeline that would commence at the Hess plant in Tioga and then end near Empress, Alberta, Canada. About 80 miles of the 430 miles would be in North Dakota. Ethane, of course, is a component of natural gas from the production of oil and gas within the state. It's it's the second most abundant product in natural gas, the first being methane, of course. The ethane would be removed from the gas stream at the plant and then transported in the pipeline, and it will exist, of course, in liquid form. The purpose of ethane, in case you're wondering, is to serve as a feedstock to the petrochemical industry. It's turned into ethylene and then used for various petrochemical products, including, I think, plastic in some cases. At any rate, the pipeline, Vantage Pipeline, estimates that the cost of construction for the 430 miles is just another $300 million. But the estimated cost of construction within North Dakota is about $60 million. So everything seems to be in place.
The series of motions Commissioner Kramer just had reinforces what Commissioner Clark was talking about the importance of call before you dig. I mean, all this development is in that northwestern part of the state, and it just needs to be done safely.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That ends the items in my portfolio.
Very good, and that ends the items on the agenda, although we do have an admin that will begin after our bill signing. Just bring to your attention, we do have one formal hearing prior to our next commission meeting, which is the formal hearing is on Monday, April 25th. It's in Williston, beginning at 11 a.m. at the City Hall, a room that we've become very familiar with over the last few years. And it's Bearpaw Energy LLC's gas processing plant siting application in Williams County. Our next regularly scheduled commission meeting is it's not on a Wednesday next time. It's actually on a Thursday, May 5th at 10 a.m. And we do not have an informal this afternoon. With that, are there any questions? We stumped him.
Why we moved our meeting from Wednesday to Thursday? We had those transmission lines slated.
We were doing it around, yeah.
And then those got changed to June.
Okay, I do have one. since the Bakken boom, do you have an idea how much money has been spent on pipelines?
I have an exact idea, and I wish I'd have brought it with me. It's just under $900 million.
Yeah, we keep a sheet of running totals of both pipelines, electric transmission line, generating facilities, and completed projects is somewhere in the neighborhood of $3 to $4 billion. If you look at total projects that the commission has outstanding, it's in the neighborhood of $13 billion. It's probably more now. I haven't looked at it for several weeks.
Well, it's funny because as of today, the spreadsheet needs to be increased by four projects or so. it is, in terms of pipelines, it's somewhere between $800 and $900 million. Now, remember, that includes the Trans-Canada Keystone Line, which was itself $300 million, I think. Nonetheless, it's adding up fast. You throw in gas plants into that, I think that's, again, somewhere just under $1 billion worth of gas plant upgrades, or at least over $500 million. I think the Tioga plant was $300 and some million. The state line projects are about $200 million. Garden Creek was $100+ million. So, yeah, you start taking it up by hundreds of millions, you get to $1 billion fairly easily.
And gas is still at a fairly low price.
It is, but you know what's interesting, and I think today's motions reflect that. What you're seeing is a lot more processing taking place in North Dakota. For example, the ethane project. Ethane used to be left in the stream and put into the market if at all, and sent downstream. Now we're taking it out, putting it in its own stream, marketing it nationally by getting it 400 and some miles up into Canada, and you're seeing with the rail terminal at Tioga is another example of taking the liquids and all of those byproducts some cases maybe, especially in our area, were not very marketable. Now that we have market streams, if you will, whether it's rail or pipelines, you're seeing value being added to that, and that certainly helps it. But yes, there's no question that natural gas prices are low, which is good for consumers of natural gas, and North Dakota has a lot of those, right? At the same time, it seems to be enough to at least attract some investment into the processing.
Speaking of money, I should have noted, I don't think I did, the transmission line, the Oliver 3 transmission line, is a $3.5 million project. proposed project.
That's pocket change.
Seeing no other questions, we'll close the meeting, and we should return about 10:35 for the administrative portion of the agenda.